The BBC proudly presents...
By arrangement with the hemorrhoid treatment for dyslexics, Preparation G...
The newly discovered casebook of Sherlock Holmes. The Journal of Dr. John H. Watson, physician, general practitioner at the Poor Hospital, and relief organ pumper to the Vicar of Marylebone. First Sunday of every month. I also share rooms at 221B Baker Street with my dear friend Sherlock Holmes, the country's foremost private investigator, master of disguise, and toppy-nosed punch. Holmes and I embarked on many astonishing adventures, but none so extraordinary as our brush with the occult, which culminated in my colleague indulging in fisticuffs with a sinister, smiling clairvoyant. I call this entry, Holmes Strikes a Happy Medium. It all began one February evening in our apartment at 221B. I was reading the Evening Chronicle, and Holmes was enjoying one of his musical interludes.
Be honest, Watson. Isn't that magnificent playing?
Spoken with your usual modesty, Holmes.
If you care to look up, you'll note this is not me playing. It is the latest recording by the violin virtuoso, Beau Scraper. I am playing it on my brand new lo-fi wax cylinder player. My word, the hour is late. You fancy a nightcap?
I don't mind if I do, Holmes. Thank you.
You'll find one hanging on the peg inside my wardrobe. Sorry, Watson, I've just felt a bit skittish then. I shall summon Mrs. Hudson to bring us up some cocoa and a plate of Fanta's. I'm desirous of a cream horn.
I don't think she's returned home yet, Holmes. She told me she was attending a seance this evening.
Ah, Mrs. Hudson has returned. I'll order our refreshments on the speaking tube.
Yes, what do you want?
Mrs. Hudson, would you bring us up some refreshments, please?
All right, give us a chance to get me coat off.
Come in.
Here you are again.
What kept you, Mrs. Hudson?
Well, I had to wait for the milk to boil. I brought you up some cocoa and a nice plate of cream horn.
Ah.
Now, if that's all I've got to catch up on my beauty sleep, it takes me half an hour to put me mud pack on.
Really? What is it, an entire bog? Oh, Watson, remove the cream horn from my orifice, will you? Thank you for that, Mrs. Hudson. And I now have cream dripping from my ear.
Mrs. Hudson, did you make contact with the dead?
I should say I did. The medium snuffed it halfway through the seance.
Here, well, how did the medium die?
Madame Dulally asked us to join hands across the table. I was sitting next to her. I held her left hand. The gas lights dimmed, and she went into a trance. She's got a red Indian guide, you know.
Yes.
Big Chief Rancid Skunk. And then she started to croak in her deep Indian chief voice.
Oh.
Then the poor cow keeled over dead as mutton.
By Jove. Obviously a case of if you can't beat 'em, join 'em, eh, ho?
Well, what did the police have to say about it? I assume they were summoned.
Oh, I didn't stay to find out. I buggered off to catch the last omnibus home. There was one thing that struck me as a bit odd, though. After she'd gasped her last breath, the gas lights went right out. And when they came back on a few seconds later, the bloke sitting on the other side of her had disappeared.
Mrs. Hudson, how would you like to accompany me in an investigation?
I can hardly contain myself with excitement.
The woman is getting dangerously close to a smack in the mouth, I swear. Get your coat on, Mrs. Hudson. You're taking us to the address of this seance. Come, Watson.
Can I bring my cream horn with me?
As long as you don't show me up in public like you did last time. At the opera, you remember?
Why? What did he do?
What did he do? He bit the end off and sucked the cream through the bottom.
Oh, I say.
Zap. Here we are. Belgrave Square. You said number 43, I believe, Mrs. Hudson?
Yes.
Thank you, cabbie. We'll alight here. Looks like Scotland Yard has beaten us to it. There's Inspector Lestrade. Pay the cabbie, Watson. Oh. Evening, Inspector.
Mr. Holmes, are you aware of what's occurred here?
Yes, Lestrade. Mrs. Hudson was at the seance when the medium died, which is why I brought her along.
Hello, Inspector Lestrade.
That's Mrs. Hudson. What's wrong with her?
She's wearing a beautifying mud pack, you know. Insisted on applying it in the cab.
Truth, and I thought it was something out of a Bram Stoker novel. The Revenge of the Swamp Thing. Ooh, your housekeeper has a lethal aim with her knee. I could arrest her for rendering a police officer soprano.
Come here to help, not to be insulted.
Oh, just stop witchering, Mrs. Hudson. Watson, what are you doing? Oh,
I found this on the pavement. Ugh. It's a gentleman's cigarette case. All right, Holmes, I've cleaned it up.
Oh, good.
It's a gentleman's cigarette case with the initials PM engraved inside the lid.
Ah, I'd like to take it back to Baker Street with me to study the contents. They could provide a clue. You will recall I am something of an expert on tobaccos.
Oh, not again.
No doubt you've read my published monograph, an analysis of 132 varieties of shag. With 12 color plates. It's a pop-up book, you know.
I'm sorry, Mr. Holmes. I only read titbits. Anyway, we'd better go inside the house and see what's afoot. Good evening, Constable I. Stedford.
Good evening, sir. Look you. Oh, excuse me. And where do you think you're going, aren't I?
Inside the house to carry out my investigation.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've strict orders not to let anyone in or out. If you remember, sir, you gave them to me yourself, weren't they?
That did not include us, Dunderhead.
Oh, pardon my somewhat overzealous manner, sir. I'm hungry for promotion, doesn't she?
Stupid man. Come on, folks.
Don't go away, Constable.
Why not?
You'll be playing another part in a minute.
Toffee nose pumps, is it?
Dear reader of this journal, a surprise awaited us in the dimly lit seance room. The body of Madame Doolally, the psychic medium, had completely vanished. Well, I wouldn't have said it was that startling. But it was indeed a mystery. The hour was late, so Holmes, Mrs. Hudson, and I returned home to Baker Street. The following morning at breakfast, Holmes's microscope and the daily newspaper presented us with two new developments.
Well, well, well.
What?
These cigarettes tell me a lot, Watson. There are five in number, three of them Turkish and manufactured by Mustafa Gaspar of Istanbul. The other two are French, menthol and garlic flavored, and the product of Henri Jean-Paul Roll-Up. I know of only one person who smokes these particular brands, and that person is none other than my arch-enemy, Professor Moriarty. Thank you, Mrs. Hudson. A dramatic call to heighten the tension. Bloody hell, she's no Kenny Ball, is she? That's just...
Have you read this morning's paper yet, Holmes?
Yes, I have. I see Burke and Hare have just opened a new emporium.
Oh, I didn't read that. What's it called?
The Body Shop. Is that what you wanted to tell me?
No.
Oh.
I was referring to an item in the Stop Press. Lord Peregrine Muesli has been found slain in a French restaurant.
Lord Peregrine Muesli, eh? Could be the work of a serial killer. Either a reaction to that last joke or Mrs. Hudson is summoning me on the speaking tube. Yes, Mrs. Hudson.
Mr. Holmes, I've just been reading the morning paper and that bit about Lord Peregrine Muesli being found murdered to death in a frog restaurant.
Well, what of it?
Well, He's the bloke what scarfed out the seance when Madame Dulally snuffed it. I recognise him by the photograph they printed.
Get your coat on, Mrs. Hudson. You're coming with us to the scene of the crime.
Oh, not again. I better go and put me going out teeth in then.
Hello? Anybody here?
Bonjour, monsieur. Welcome to London's premier French restaurant, Snails Are Us. I'm afraid we will be not opening for lunch this morning. We have had a bijou cock-up with our routine.
You're not customers, my good man. I am the great Sherlock Holmes.
I've heard of you, the toppy-nosed pons. And the squat mustachioed geezer must be your inseparable chum.
I have that pleasure.
I'm sure you do. We've all got your number, sweetheart. And who is this plump Madame Lafarge look-alike with the ill-fitting teeth?
That is my housekeeper, Mrs. Hudson. Can we dispense with the pleasantries? We come on most important business.
Yes. According to this morning's papers, you've got a stiff here.
Pardon?
Lord Peregrine Muesli, the man who was murdered on these premises.
Ah, oui, the tough. We discovered him stuck up a dumbwaiter.
I...
Don't worry, Watson. He writes all his own stuff, you know. I'll ask the waiter here to clarify that last statement.
Yes, I think you better.
Waiter! Monsieur, I am the maître d' of this high-class establishment. Pierre-Yves Gendarme, Frère Jacques Latrine, at your service.
Then kindly take us to the body.
The body is no longer here. The pompous inspector from Scottish Yard have him taken away to the mortuary.
Curses, too late again. Latrine, tell me exactly what happened last night, but try not to get too many laughs in the process. You've had far too many in the scene already.
Lord Peregrine was dining with a female companion.
Mm-hmm.
They had just finished their starters when he left the table to go to the gentleman's room.
Ah.
A few minutes later, we were having difficulty getting the grub up from the kitchen as the dumb waiter, she appeared to be stuck.
Oh, oh.
When we examined it more closely, we discovered the body stuffed up the shaft and enmeshed in the pulley.
Well done, Latrine. Not a laugh in there anywhere, was it?
No, but it was dashed boring, Holmes.
Exactly.
Monsieur Holmes, why is your housekeeper trying to climb into the shaft?
Mrs. Hudson, come out of there at once.
No. There's something on the roof of the dumbwaiter, but it's too far to reach down.
Come out of the way, Mrs. Hudson. Let me have a look. Ah, yes, I see it. Glinting where the light catches it. Monsieur Latrine, can you raise the dumbwaiter slightly so I can retrieve it?
Alas, no. The pulley, she is knackered.
Ah. Watson, get out your little wonder.
What?
That Swiss Army-type gadget you carry about with all the gizmos.
Oh.
I believe it also has an extendable butterfly net attachment.
It has indeed. Here you are. You click that button there for the butterfly net.
Thank you.
My stars. Who'd have thought such a little thing could produce something as long as that?
I have often pondered over that enigma myself.
Thank you, Latrine. Watson, I shall need you to support me by the waist while I dean down the shaft.
Oh, very well.
6 feet should be ample, yes. Get hold, Watson.
Right, okay. There.
You're tickling.
Oh, sorry, Holmes.
Let me lift you up.
Yes, there. Just... a little further.
Yes, all right. Yes.
Got it. You can let go of me now, Watson.
Oh, all right.
Oh, my stars, it's a cigarette lighter.
Yes, and look at the initials engraved upon it. P.M.
Professor Moriarty.
Thank you, Mrs. Hudson. The initials match the engraving on the cigarette case. Moriarty must have been observing Lord Muesli from another table, followed him to the gents, killed him en route, and stuffed his body up the shaft. The professor's exertions no doubt resulted in his lighter accidentally dropping from his pocket onto the roof of the dumb waiter.
Or conversely, it might have dropped from the pocket of his lordship while...
What?
Well, P. PM also stands for Peregrine Muesli. The cigarette case and lighter might have belonged to him.
I will take this lighter for further examination.
I'll have that lighter, Mr. Holmes. It's evidence.
Strahd, you're back.
Yes, it's killing me. It's all that paperwork. Leaning over a desk, poor light in eyesight, not as good as it was.
Yes, yes, it was an old joke, not worthy of all that padding, I think.
Are you all finished here? Because I would like to reopen this nursery for business. I have a party from the Oscar Wilde Appreciation Society coming for lunch. And I have to supervise the green carnation table arrangements and make sure the chef puts on the mints and prepares the afters.
Afters, eh? What are you giving them?
Queen of puddings.
You rather walked into that one, didn't you, Watson?
Well, it could have been Spotted Dick.
Right. That's the lot of you.
Get up. I've been thrown out of better restaurants over worse jokes than that, you French bounder.
Thank you, Dr. Watson, for disrupting my inquiries. I need to wrap this case up rather swiftly. I can't go into too much detail, but...
Say no more, Lestrade. What you are implying is that a higher authority than Scotland Yard is involved in this affair, am I right?
Yet again you astound me, Mr. Holmes. How did you come by this supposition?
While Watson was waiting for a laugh after his Spotted Dick line, I did some research on our friend Lord Peregrine Muesli. It would appear he was dishonorably discharged from the army for reasons undisclosed. But judging from the company he kept, I would hazard a guess at treason. I'll warrant the higher authority demanding a result from Lestrade here is none other than MI1.
MI1?
Yes, someday they'll be known as MI5, but they've only just started, haven't they? Well, Lestrade...
My lips are sealed.
That tells me what I needed to know. If MI1 is interested in this case, then espionage is involved. Thus, an imbecile could deduce that Madame Dulally was using her seances as a means of passing highly sensitive material to some foreign power.
I'd never have deduced that.
That's because you're not an imbecile, Dr. Watson.
Thank you, Mrs. Hudson. Have a cenopod.
Lovely, I'll save it for later.
As I was saying, the heads of MI1 are the twin brigadiers, Popper and Trumper Trouserblast. Ex-Indian Army Spy-Catching Division. Which is why I intend to gain entry to their gentleman's club in Pall Mall, disguised as an ex-Army officer. And Mrs. Hudson shall accompany me.
Oh, I say.
They'll never allow a woman, particularly one of Mrs. Hudson's gender, in such a place.
She will be disguised as my loyal, long-serving Batman.
Well, I'll be blown.
With any luck, yes. Mrs. Hudson, you shall keep a sharp eye open in an effort to try and recognize anyone there that might have been at the seance you attended last night.
Why should Mrs. Hudson recognize someone from the seance in an exclusive Pall Mall gentlemen's club whose members include the controllers of MI1?
Thank you for that useful recap of the salient points of the plot, Inspector. There's not a moment to lose. Watson,
yes?
Pass me my portable disguise kit that you've been carrying since we left Baker Street earlier.
Here you are.
Thank you. Here we are. One army officer's uniform and full makeup kit. And for you, Mrs. Hudson, one gentleman's Batman costume and facial hair. Well, don't just stand there. Put it on.
What, out here in the street?
This is no time for modesty. Excellent. Our disguises are complete. Lestrade, you can accompany us on this music link to Pall Mall and wait outside the club. Whistle at the ready.
What about me, Holmes?
That's my official biographer. You can get out your quill and chronicle my doings.
By Jove, I haven't had an offer like that in ages.
Good day to you, gentlemen. Are you members?
Well, hello, Dean. I'm Lieutenant General Farquharson Stiffly Stewart. Late of the 13-amp Fusiliers.
Looks better written down, that one, but there we are.
And this is my faithful, chirpy, cockney Batman, Robin.
God bless you, Gov. You're a top and no mistake.
A lovely little artist, I think you'll agree, sir.
Yes, quite, but I'm sorry. I can't let you in unless you're members.
Oh, we're here to see two ex-army chums of mine, the Trouser Blasts. What? Old Puffer and Trumper. They'll vouch for me.
The twin brigadiers?
Yes.
Yes. Well, I suppose it'll be all right for just a few minutes. They're full those doors there.
Thank you, my good man. Here's something for your trouble.
What is it?
Penicillin. Come along, Robin.
Right you are, Gov. Core stone of flipping frozen, no mistake.
Lovely.
Oh, there goes another one.
Makes you proud to be British.
Papa, Trumper. Oh, absolutely splitting to see you again.
Papa, Trumper, I thought that was you.
No?
Well, it must be me then.
Who the devil are you, sir?
You remember me. We fought against the Indian Mutiny of 57 together. Lieutenant General Farquharson Stifley Stukes.
Not one of the Stifley Stukes from Stoke Poges.
The very same.
Never heard of them.
Oh!
Will they never end?
So, who's this young fellow, me lad, with a lopsided tash?
Nice to meet you, Governor. God blow me, I'm Lieutenant General Stifley Stukes' Batman, sir, and no mistake.
Oh, strange-looking cove, eh, what? They never have allowed men with chests like that in my day.
What?
Or is he standing back to front?
Yes. By Jove, how do we know you're not imposters?
Oh, surely you remember the jolly old regimental song? Robin? Robin? It's you, Mrs. Hudson.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, sir. Course truth and no mistake.
Robin, play the piano while I sing the jolly old regimental song. After three. On Sunday, I walk out with a squaddy. On Monday, I'm taken by a tar. On Tuesday, I'm out with a baby boy scout. On Wednesday, a huzzah. On Thursday, I gang out, we are Scotty. On Friday, the captain of the crew. But on Saturdays, I'm willing, if you'll only take the shilling, to make a man of any one of you. Two for a tanner, I'll make a man for any one of you. Let's go.
Ah, yes, the regimental song.
Oh,
yes. I remember it now. Oh. Most poignant.
Yes, indeed, yes. Have a drink, old lad. Mafeking?
Yes, sir.
Mafeking, eh?
That's right, sir. I was named after the famous battle.
But that hasn't happened yet.
I was a premature baby.
Oh, Mafeking, I'd better have another pink gin.
Yes, and make mine a purple one, Percy.
With pleasure, sir.
Oh,
did you hear that, Mrs. Hudson? Percy Mafeking. P.M.
Oh, my stars. Do you know, I think I've seen him somewhere before.
At the seance?
I'm not sure. What are you two muttering about?
Oh, is that the time?
By thunder, yes. It's time for our weekly session in the inner sanctum, isn't it, Trumper?
No, you're Trumper.
My Trumper? What's wrong with it?
What?
Perhaps you'd like to join us in the inner sanctum for a seance.
Oh! Is it likely to be quieter in there?
I can guarantee it, lad.
Gentlemen, I see we have told your guests. I trust you are believers.
Oh, my God, Mr. Holmes, it's Madame Doolally.
It was as I expected. Of course we are believers, Albine.
So, are we all seated? Excellent.
I'm so sorry.
Firstly, I want you to relax by staring at this fob watch I'm swinging in front of me.
Excuse me, but I'm most frightfully sorry to interrupt, but before you start, do you think I could possibly have the teeniest of Siggy Poos and positively gasping for an oily? Perhaps you'd like one.
No, thank you, I don't smoke.
Really? Are you sure you won't have a Turkish or a French? And they're in such an attractive cigarette case, too. Isn't it the most divine object? Just look at the initials.
Just a moment. Hold hard, my man. That's the case we gave Percy Mafeking for his birthday. Isn't that right, Trumper?
Oh, it is indeed. How did you come by it, sir? By gad, you're a tea leaf. Who are you, sir?
Why don't you ask that question of Madame Doolally here? Ask her why the yellow stains on her fingers, undoubtedly caused by nicotine, are identical to those on the fingers of Mafeking, the club steward.
Great rollicking rude bits, the man's deranged.
Oh, no, he's not. Mr. Holmes might be a pompous git, but the man's a genius. Oh, knickers. I think I've just blown it.
Yes, thank you, Mrs. Hudson. You have. What the devil's going on here? Do you know Trumper?
Of course I know Trumper. I'm Trumper, you bally fool.
I'm surrounded by idiots.
Thank you.
So once again, our paths cross, Mr. Holmes.
You met Madame Doolally before?
This isn't Madame Doolally, Mrs. Hudson. She never existed in the first place. Ooh. And if I rip off her disguise, you'll see who the real villain of the piece is.
You're so clever, don't you, Holmes?
Great steaming pantaloons. It's Mafeking the steward.
Damn, that's only the first layer. The real villain lies under this disguise.
Look, Sir Massey, it's Professor Moriarty.
Once again, I take my hat off to you, Mr. Holmes. With a box on you for uncovering my most lucrative little racket.
Selling state secrets to some foreign power, eh?
What? But where did he obtain these state secrets?
From you, Trouser Blast. You and your gullible twin brother. Oh. You were hypnotized at these weekly seances, and once under Madame Doolally's influence, it was like taking humbugs from a child.
Oh, it's all too much for a white woman.
They passed out. But how did you know what was going on?
The cigarettes I examined in the case you dropped, Moriarty, gave me the first vital clue.
Yes, most careless of me. I forgot what an insufferable smartass you are when it comes to varieties of tobacco.
The word is expert. And it wasn't the tobacco that provided the clue, it was the cigarette paper.
The what?
To examine the contents, I had to unroll the cigarettes, which is when I discovered printed on the inside of the papers the secrets Moriarty had extracted from the twin brigadiers to be passed on to the Belgrave Square spiritualist meetings when all the subjects' hands were joined. My God, I'm glad I took a breath before I started that. The night you turned up, Mrs. Hudson, Moriarty's contact was Lord Peregrine Muesli.
Yes, his death was most unfortunate. I thought Muesli must have spilled the beans to you, so he had to be eliminated.
Which is why you feigned death at the seance, and during the blackout made a hasty retreat with your intended victim. What do you think you're doing, Moriarty?
I'm just reaching into my trouser pocket for my cigarettes. Surely the prisoner has allowed one last smoke.
I want none of your tricks, Mrs. Hudson. Reach into his trouser pocket.
Do what?
Do as I say, woman.
The things I do for you.
Those are not my cigarettes.
Sorry, my mistake. There.
Oh, thank you, dear lady. May I trouble you for a light, Holmes? You have my lighter, I believe.
Make the most of it, Moriarty. It'll be the last cigarette you'll have for some time.
I don't think so.
Blast! We've fallen for the oldest trick in the book.
What's that, Mr. Holmes?
The knockout gas in the cigarette trick.
Holmes. Holmes. Come on, old chap. Holmes. Holmes, he's coming round, Mrs. Hudson.
Where am I?
Back at Baker Street. You got the worst of it, I'm afraid. Mrs. Hudson has explained everything to me and Lestrade.
Yes, and in far fewer words than you usually do.
And Moriarty?
The bounder made his escape, I'm afraid.
Curses!
Don't worry, we'll get him one day. The twin brigadiers have resigned their posts as heads of MI1, and Lestrade has ascertained that the woman in the French restaurant with Lord Muesli was his murderer Moriarty, still in his Madame Doolally disguise. There's just one loose end.
Oh, really? And what's that?
Well, you will recall, I am entitling this case Holmes Strikes a Happy Medium, right?
What of it?
Well, unfortunately, the title is now incorrect, as you didn't.
Watson?
Yes, Holmes.
When ordering a suit from your tailor, would you say you were small, medium, or large?
Oh, medium.
I see. And would you consider yourself of a jovial disposition?
Oh, definitely.
Excellent. Now your title is correct.
That was the newly discovered casebook of Sherlock Holmes. The part of Sherlock Holmes was played by Mr. Royston Hudd. Dr. Watson and Brigadier Trumpet Trouser Blast by Mr. Christopher Emmett. Mrs. Hudson was portrayed by Miss June Whitfield. The personages of Inspector Lestrade and Brigadier Puffer Trouser Blast were rendered by Mr. Geoffrey Holland. Professor Moriarty and all other characters were depicted by Mr. Geoffrey Whitehead. The pianoforte was Mr. Barry Bignall. The dialogue was scribed by Mr. Anthony Hare, and the entire extravaganza was produced by Mr. Christopher Neal.